Granted, Lord, but we count it as a privilege, Lord, that you allow us such freedom, Lord. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon the people today, that you would encourage them, uplift them, dear God. Anoint us, Lord, that we may be able to fulfill that position in which you have placed us, Lord. We ask for it to be given to you for all your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel, the 10th chapter. And we've been speaking on election, and this would be the fifth message that we've spoke on election. And last Sunday, we spoke about the elect in the rapture. Now I want to look at the elect in heaven. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince, that means a chieftain or a ruler, commander, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So this was something that was stronger than an angel of God. Because an angel of God is sent, but here's something that can withstand that angel and stop that angel from coming to Daniel. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. An angel of God would need help. Why? Because the prince of Persia outranked him. So they had to, even though he was a fallen angel, he outranked this angel coming to Daniel. So they had to send an angel of higher rank, Michael. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, though there were natural kings on the throne, this was a demonic domain and a rule of demons, what this angel is talking about to Daniel. Verse 20, then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come to thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the princes of Grecia shall come. Now, this was a Persian empire that was ruling the world, but the Grecian Empire was going to soon take over, and the demon of the Grecian Empire had already been chosen. That's why that he's making mention of this at all, the angel making mention of this. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. The message of identified masterpiece of God. It says, there are angels such as seraphims and cherubims and angels and great angels and degrees. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth shall bring their honor into the city. We're always going to be that way. Now, The angels were created before the foundation of the world. They also fell before the foundation of the world. But God had something here when he created the angels that he was something of himself that he was reflecting, and that is he's a God of degrees. He's a God of degrees in heaven, he's a God of degrees in earth. Brother Branham, in Identified Masterpiece, talks about how he created the planets and the stars in degrees. Some planets are greater than other planets, some stars are greater than other stars. When he expressed himself down on earth, he created botany life and animal life in degrees, and then he created man. And he uses man in different degrees. Even in heaven, or even on the eighth day, we'll see that there's going to be degrees categories. And we as human, we must accept that God is a God of degrees. And that this is not a characteristic of time, but it actually is a characteristic that comes from eternity, that has folded itself into time and will blend back into eternity again. Now, sometimes people have problems with degrees, and that's usually when they become jealous. But God, when he made the angels, he knew there were those of them that were going to fall. He didn't make them to fall, but he knew there were some that would fall. And he made them in degrees. And when they fell with the same degree that they had before they fell. The same rank, in other words, they had before they fell, they kept that rank even after they fell. And God made them to be that way. And it was not just angels of low degree that fell. There was angels of high degree that fell. Because remember, Lucifer was God's right-hand man. Lucifer was the most beautiful angel of all. And he used that to deceive all the angels that were not elect. Don't forget that I said angels that were not elect. Now, in Revelations, I'm not going to go to it because there's so many scriptures I'm going to go to this morning and have you read with me, but in Revelations 12, if you want to read this on your own later, many of you are familiar with it, it says there was a great war with Michael and between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. And it's where when Michael was cast the dragon out of heaven and all of his angels with him. And the Bible goes on to say that the dragon is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So John wanted you to be sure to know who he was talking about. But we see here that Michael outranked Lucifer. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to cast him out of heaven. So Michael was of even higher rank than Lucifer. Now, God, as he made angels by degree, he's made people by degrees. When we look at, there's the bride that the Bible talks about, the elect bride. The Bible talks about the 144,000 that will be sealed in their foreheads, that God's calling. Then the Bible also talks about the foolish virgins. And they are all different categories, but they're totally just in the eyes of God, in the way he's made them. Turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. That word also translates as fiery serpent. But there stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now, this was a different category of angels we're talking about here than the one that came and appeared to Brother Branham. Because the one that came and appeared to Brother Branham didn't have wings covering his face. And Brother Branham said he was barefoot. So a different classification. He says here, an influence of another. Seraphims means burners, which they were next to the altar. Actually, a seraphim is the one who received the sacrifice, cleansed the worshiper, and then present him to God. The seraphim does that. Now turn with me into Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, and the 28th chapter. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. So here's another classification category of angel, another rank or degree. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, we know that in the Bible it talks about the angels that God set to guard the way into the garden were cherubs, cherubims. And then we also know that God speaking to Moses and telling Moses how to make the tabernacle and so forth, he also told Noah how to make the Ark of the Covenant. And when he instructed Noah how to make the Ark of the Covenant, he said that he was to have two cherubims that were to cover the top with their wings. And so God had that place there. And the reason why is because cherubims have a special relationship between God and people. They have a special relationship between God and people. And there's angels of influence in our lives every day. Not just fallen ones. Of course, we feel them. But there are angels that are there to encourage you. There's angels that are there to lift you up when you're down. There's angels there that are to encourage your faith. There's angels that watch over you. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, this, we know who that this is speaking of. It's speaking of Lucifer. He was a covering cherub. Now, as I said, a cherub has a special relationship between God and people. The cherub guards the approach to the throne. If an angel of lesser rank was to come and approach the throne, a cherub could stop him and could see what his business was before he could let him approach the throne. So the cherub was there to, he could stop their approach to the throne. Now this cherub has fallen, and he still tries to stop people's approach to the throne of God. 2 Thessalonians, if you turn with me there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who was troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So now here's an angel they refer to as a mighty angel. Also in Revelations 18:21, if you'll turn there. 18 and 21, Revelations. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. So here's another place it was speaking about a mighty angel. Now, God uses different classes of angels according to their position. John was inspired by the Spirit to show these classifications of angels as he wrote. God has certain classifications of angels to deal with judgment. In the Antediluvian age, as we call it, or in the time of Noah, I'll say, in the time of Noah, there was an angel that had control of the waters, and his name was Woodworm. And God sent him in order to loose the waters and flood the earth. Now, Brother Branham says in Hour Is Come, he said that during the time when the Hebrew children were down in the fire, thrown in the fiery furnace, he said Woodworm came up and said, Master, down in Babylon, your children has took a stand and they're going to throw them in the fiery furnace this morning. They're almost there, and I've stood by your side since you created me. I have control of the water. In the Antediluvian destruction, I broke up the springs of the deep, and I swept over the earth and destroyed the whole earth with water. Let me go down there this morning. I'll wash her off the face of the earth. And God said, no. He had something else in mind to do. Amen. Now, we see here a designation of categories of angels. Some deal with judgment, some with redemption, some with seals, some with trumpets, some with vials. And that's the way God created them, just like God has created us. And God's created us to be different things and to do different things. And each within what we, as long as we're doing what God has had us to do, then we're righteous before God. Let's see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, you're familiar with this, and the voice of an archangel, an archangel is a chief of angels, and with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In Jude 1 and 9, it said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dares not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked you. So Michael was an archangel. Lucifer was a cherub. Michael was a chief of angels, a prince of angels. It says that in where we read in Daniel. There about where the angel that came to Daniel said that Michael, the prince of, was sent. And so Michael was an archangel. Now, 1 Timothy 5:21, I'm going to wait for you to turn there. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So here it speaks of the elect angels. So we see that even among angels, God had an election. And that's because angels, the devil, friends, he was made with a soul. And he was made on free moral agency. And he had a choice. God didn't make him as a robot and say, I made him this way because I need him to fall, because I need him to do this or that. No, God made him just like he made angels, just the way he made people. On a free moral agency, you have a choice. And Satan made his choice, and the angels that followed him, they made their choice to follow him. And God being God and knowing all things, would know which angels would make what choice. And therefore he could elect the ones that would make God their choice. People say, well, maybe I'm not ordained. Maybe that's why I can't live it. Well, I guess maybe I won't be able to go to heaven. Reckon I'll probably have a choice. Yes, you do have a choice. Anybody that goes to hell, they go there because they choose to go there. Don't blame it on God. So what we see here is when God created the angels, he created some of them to be of more authority or greater authority than others. And that authority even reflected down even in the fallen angels. Some of them had more authority than others. As we've seen in Daniel, there are some of the fallen angels, because they kept the degree or category they were created in even after they fell, that some of them had more authority than some of the elect angels. That's why Michael had to come. He had even more authority. And the angel said, I was fighting there in Daniel, and he said, and then he sent Michael, came down, and when Michael came down, said the prince of Persia had to let me go. But then he said, when he was done, he says, I will turn back to fight against the prince of Persia. And just like Daniel, it may be that way with us sometimes. Seems like we're calling on God. We're fighting a fight against something. And we're praying and calling on God to come and to deliver us, or to give us an answer, to give us a leading. And there could be that there is a fallen angel of higher rank that's stopping the angel from coming to you to bring you the answer. So what do I do? Do what Daniel did. Daniel kept praying. He prayed for 21 days straight, the same prayer, praying for the same thing. So just keep praying. Your prayers, calling on God, your prayers go up before God. And I'll tell you something, there'll be an angel of a higher rank that'll come down and will set that angel free to come down and bring the answer of God to you. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Now after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, the winds of the earth, it is talking about wars. That the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. Now this angel with the seal was given a direct command to these other four angels. And to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel. So that makes it very clear that the 144,000 were going to be made up of Israel, of the Jews. Now, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them, and to them were given seven trumpets. So here, speaking about seven angels here that were given seven trumpets. Revelations 15 and 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Now one of the four beasts, or one of the anointing angels that were over the seven church ages. We know there was four. The Bible talks about them. One said had the face of a lion. The other said had the face of an ox. Said the other had the face of a man. And the other one had the face of an eagle. And it speaks about that in the book of Ezekiel. Also speaks about it in the book of Revelations. And so one of them, one of those four anointing angels, came and gave unto these seven angels these seven golden vials. Now, all through the plan of God, we found out this one gets that, and that one gets that part, and this one gets this part. And the angels of God that are elect, they work under the degrees of designation in which God had created them, and they have no problem with it. Who was the first one that had a problem with the way God had created them in degrees? Lucifer. He was the first one that had a problem with it. He got jealous. He wanted a kingdom greater than Michael had. Now let's look at the white throne judgment. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and that's where Jesus is speaking here, and what he's speaking about is the time of the white throne judgment. I'll show that to you. Matthew 25, verse 34, we got several verses of scripture to read here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Now he's talking about the bride categories. The least of these, my brother, ye have done it unto me. These people here are being judged for their treatment of the living word. You get that? The living word. The word living in God's bride, his people. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, hell wasn't even prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee at hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Sardesian Church Age, Church Age book, says there will be both righteous and unrighteous in this judgment. It says so. These righteous will be will not be the bride, for the bride sits with him in judgment. The question now arises, why are these righteous ones in the judgment? There was no other place that they can come up, for there are but two resurrections, and since they could not qualify for the first resurrection, they must come up in the second, which is a resurrection unto judgment. The ones who qualify for the first resurrection, the bride, are not in the judgment. But notice carefully, Jesus must have yet another group in mind who at a certain resurrection will receive eternal life. They will receive it at the resurrection, not having previously received it as a member of the bride. You must receive the life of your sacrifice. The reason that the sacrifices in the Old Testament could not be permanent is because the life of the sacrifice could not come onto the worshiper. But when Christ came and died, then the life of the sacrifice came back upon the worshiper. Remember, he said, go tarry, told them there in the book of Acts, that go tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And they gathered in the upper room, and they waited there until that the Spirit of God came down upon each one of them. And Peter, coming out of there, lets us know that this is to all them, as many as the Lord our God shall call, shall receive the life of the sacrifice. Now, the reason there's people that go through the tribulation is because they don't have that life. They are taught by accepting Jesus as Savior, they receive that life, but there's three elements. If the chemistry of the blood would be enough, then Christ would not have had to die, because his blood was shed when they whipped him with the cat of nine tails. And if the blood, the chemistry of the blood would have been enough, they could have stopped right there. He could have turned into a supernatural being right there and been caught up. But it wasn't. It was going to take not just the blood, but the water and the Spirit for it to be able that the life could come back upon the worshiper. Isaiah 53:10. Although we're really familiar with these scriptures here in Isaiah 53, sometimes our mind doesn't always catch everything that is wrote in the way it's wrote. Sometimes our mind doesn't really catch on to it. But here in Isaiah 53:10, it said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, talking about Christ. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. So the soul of Christ was made an offering from sin. What is the soul of Christ? The life. And so, you're not sinless until you receive the soul of God, the life. The chemistry of the blood had been released at the whipping post, but his soul had not been released yet. He said, I'll make his soul an offering for sin. And what does the Bible say? It says he gave up the ghost, his soul. The first seal says, notice these types, the reason they die out, they go through the purging of trial of tribulation because they're not actually under the blood. They claim they are, but they're not. Because if you're under the blood, why would you have to go through any purging? You would not. Because the blood itself, as bleach, cleans you white as snow. The supernatural blood of Jesus Christ. And in the Church Age book, Sardesian Church Age, he says, to further clarify, notice specifically the words of Matthew 25:31-46, and that's what we had just read. It does not say that the shepherd is literally separating sheep from goats, but as a shepherd dividing sheep from goats. These are not sheep in this particular area in time of the white throne judgment. The sheep are in his fold already. They heard his voice, the word, and they followed him. They already have eternal life and cannot come into the judgment. But these do not have eternal life, and they are in judgment. They are allowed to go into eternal life, but upon what grounds do they enter into eternal life? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have his life, as does the bride, but they receive it because they were kind to his brethren. That's what Matthew 25 is talking about. There is those that will receive eternal life at the white throne judgment because of their treatment of the living word, their treatment of the bride. Now, many of us could stop and think, people that have been good to us. In Revelations 5 and 10, in Revelations 1, it talks about he hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. But now in Revelations 5 and 10, it says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, if we're going to reign on the earth, there has to be something. Well, the Lord agreed they were reigning over. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called reigning. That's like somebody entering a pie in a prize for a prize at the fair, and they say, I took first place, and you realize they was the only ones that entered. Revelations 4 and 4. And it says, and round about the throne are 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, as they had on their heads crowns of gold. So here we find 24 or 24 sitting on thrones. Now, Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And we've already covered who the 144,000 was. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So now this 144,000, they're the ones of Israel that are called out during a time of the tribulation when Revelation talks about the two prophets going to Israel. And it speaks of them and shows that one would have power to stop it from raining. Said the other would have power to bring plagues. And we know those two prophets are Elijah and Moses that will be returning to. And the Bible tells us in Revelations that they will be there preaching for a time and they will be killed in Israel, and lay on the streets, and says people will rejoice and throw a celebration because they killed them. This is all in the book of Revelations. I ain't making it up. And then Christ will slip away from the wedding supper and will come down and reveal himself to that 144,000, and he'll show them the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And they'll realize who he was and who he is. That's how they'll be sealed with his name in their forehead. But now there's another group in Revelations 19 and 5. And a voice came up out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now this group is the one they're talking about that's caught up in the rapture. They're called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's what the rapture is taking them to. And there they'll be for 3.5 years while the tribulation period is going on the earth for 3.5 years. Hallelujah. Now, Revelations 21, 23, and 24, down through 26 rather, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all by day, for there will be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." So now within the city, there will be no night because he's the light of it. Questions and Answers, COD book. So then I can prove there are degrees in heaven. They're not all be on the same equal, but you'll have equal eternal life. But the Bible says in Revelations 22 that the kings of the earth shall bring their honor and glory into the city. That proves there'll be kings in the new earth, kings and rulers. Jesus told his disciples, "What will we have after we left father and mother and all to follow you?" He said, "Verily I say unto you, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in that day." And see, it's the earthly system that's coming up far supreme to anything, in that there'll be no sin, but they'll have rulers and so forth in the cities when everything will be carried on in the way of eternal life. Now, how did these outside of the city get eternal life? They got it because they received it, we said, because they were good to his brother, the least of them. But they didn't get it because they were born into it. They got it because of how they treated God's people, the elect bride. I know sometimes that people have trouble with it because they think that, well, God surely wouldn't make things that way. But the Bible, as I showed you today, the Bible says he did. Questions and Answers. It was asked the question, who will populate the earth outside of the heavenly city? It will be the redeemed that will populate the earth outside the city, but they will not be the elect and called bride. The bride will live inside the kingdom with the king. On the outside, there will be kings of the earth, that labor and bring their fruits into the city, and the doors will not be closed by night. Now, this light on top of the mountain will not light the whole earth. It'll only lighten the city. But it can be seen in a distance of 1,000 miles, maybe. But it won't lighten the earth, because the Bible said in the new world that from one Sabbath to another and from one new moon to another, you see, will people come up before the Lord unto Zion, up to the city to worship. And now they will be outside the city, not the bride, but the people that come up in the second resurrection, that will be tillers of the soil, just like Adam was, and so forth, carers of the garden. But the king and queen will remain in the city. So we're going back even further than just Adam, because we're not going to be the carers of the garden, the bride. These that it's talking about here, that talked about that get eternal life and the white throne judgment, they're going to be the carers of the garden. The elect bride will be in the city, the new Jerusalem, which is her home. Let's stand. Ask you to remember me in prayer as I'm studying here. I got many more messages I can go on about in talking about the election of God, but this particular message kind of sets us up for another, to cover another subject, really. And so I just need to catch the leading of the Lord, which direction to go in, to be, because what we bring is to be a help to the people, uplifting to the people, encouraging. We don't come to preach to beat people down. We come to preach to lift people up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you mention about Brother Neil? You did, okay. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Sing, Think About His Love. F.
Think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace.
Great is the measure of love. Thank you.